Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. It's July 4th, Independence Day. You know, some 230 some odd years ago, we were born. America was born. And it's an ideal. It's an idea. And the thing which encapsulated it, although it was not till 1787 that it was adopted, much bickering, rancoring. Gee, Americans weren't so different then either. Was the Constitution. The Constitution is the bulwark of our freedoms. It is the wall, or supposed to be, between the people and the government. It is the document from which all laws in this land are supposed to derive and are supposed to be upheld. I've talked ad infinitum, and you have seen with your own eyes, you've heard with your own eyes, you've sensed with that uneasy feeling over the last 10, maybe 20 years, and certainly since Barack Obama came into office, and absolutely over the last year and a half, as he knows he has nothing to lose except to push his agenda. And his agenda is to decapitate the Constitution. Because the Constitution, just like the Second Amendment, which is part of the Constitution, your right to keep and bear arms, the Constitution and the Second Amendment is what stands between he and his ilk and your freedoms. Now, 2 years ago, on July 4th, I did a pretty cool show, got a lot of reviews on it, a lot of great feedback on the Constitution itself. Kind of went through it in depth. Actually, pretty interesting. And my producers are going to post that here with this show today. And I would urge you, when you have time, to listen to it. It's a great primer on the Constitution. I would urge you to get yourself a pocket copy of the Constitution. In fact, I'm going to be posting today, as part of this show, the site for the Oath Keepers. I interviewed Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the Oath Keepers. Highly intelligent guy. Knows his stuff, stalwart constitutionalist, and knows the laws to back it, I might add. And it was really one of the most interesting interviews I've done for my radio show. And he was one of the most impressive guests, and I've had a lot of great national names on the show. And that's going to be reposted here for you also. I encourage you to listen to it. Doesn't have to be right now, sometime over the next week, but listen to it. I want you to listen to the ideals, the ideas, and shall we say the stiff spine of somebody who knows the Constitution, understands how it's being attacked, and is doing something about it. And I would urge you, if you are so inclined, to join the Oath Keepers. It's posted down below, and I think you will find it fascinating. The Oath Keepers, by the way, their membership is in the half million range right now. Many retired law enforcement, current law enforcement, sheriffs, in particular, sheriff's deputies, military, former military. It is a good group of people to be associated with. They are Americans through and through. And though the media, the liberal media, has tried to cast them in as some right-wing nut jobs, let me tell you, they are anything but. They are solid. They are well-reasoned. They have the law on their side. They know the Constitution, and they know its limitations on government, and they fully understand how those limitations are being purposely exceeded without accountability, which was the subject of my show last week. No accountability. You know, when you own something, it could be a tennis racket, it could be a tractor if you're a farmer, it can be a car that you lend to your kids. You know, if you loan it out long enough and you don't watch out after it, you don't get it back. Or you don't get it back in anywhere near the condition you lent it out. And that's kind of the position we're in with the Constitution. We've been asleep at the switch for a long, long time. And it's being dismantled. It's been dismantled. The two recent rulings by the Supreme Court, and I don't care what side of the issues you're on, whether you're for or against Obamacare, whether you're for or against gay marriage. I mean, really, yes, the issues are important, but who cares? I mean, the world is burning around us, and we worry about gay marriage. Okay, whatever. I hate to tell those folks who are so happy about gay marriage, but it doesn't matter if you're broke or you're dead, whether you're married or not. It doesn't matter if you are enslaved rather than free, if you're married or not. I mean, folks kind of have their priorities upside down nowadays, wouldn't you say? But those two rulings by the Supreme Court, they hacked away parts of the Constitution. By the very court that's sworn to uphold it. The court of last resort between the government and the people. Because let's face it, this is no longer a government of the people, by the people, or for the people. This is a government of the government, for the government, and by the government. You can't trust what they tell you about anything. It is rife with corruption, crony capitalism, favoritism, nepotism. It delights in spending other people's money, yours and mine, to further its pet projects, further its political agendas, taint the courts, reward its friends, hurt its enemies. I am sure you've all seen the fact that suddenly Lerner's emails, you know, Lois Lerner of the IRS, who didn't do anything wrong, but pled the fifth. Those emails are so incriminating. They incriminate the entire agency, the White House, the Treasury Department, Eric Holder, of course. That's not the only incrimination of Eric Holder in the White House. And the IRS chief who said he couldn't find them is now just appalled at what's in these emails. I mean, they are lying rugs, all of them. The EPA's recent rulings controlling the rain that falls off your roof, literally. A puddle in your backyard, literally. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Currency controls. I'm gonna have a decent chunk of my show next week on some currency controls which are now looming their head. You've heard about Greece, right? You can withdraw, I think it's 67 euros, 63 euros. I mean, who really cares? We're talking about 40 bucks at a time if your bank is open. Well, I did a show about 3 years ago called Greece is California. Well, we've graduated. Greece is now America. Except that Greece doesn't have $60 trillion in credit floating around. I talked a little bit about this 3 weeks ago. I'm going to go into great detail next week. Next week is, with all luck, a show on currency controls, what it means to you, how it ties into this huge credit bubble we have going in the United States, what's happened historically to countries that have put themselves in the same position. And by the way, there is no country that didn't suffer the same fate when in the same position. And no country ever has come remotely close to $60 trillion in credit. I want you to think about that. You know, there's only, give or take, $250 billion in circulation on any given day. Who's going to pay back that other $59,750,000,000,000 if something in this chain breaks? And do you know why this chain works? Because of mentality, because of what you believe, because of the normalcy bias, which I've spoken about many times. I digress. This really isn't a show about what's wrong with us. This is a show about what's right with us. This is a show that I hope will inspire you to do something. Because I get lots of emails, I get lots of communications. What can I do? I listen to your show. It makes so much sense, but what can I do? Well, today we're going to talk about some of the things you can do. Hopefully you'll listen to the show from 2 years ago, July 4th, on the Constitution. Hopefully you'll listen to my interview with Stuart Rhodes. And hopefully you'll take one of the steps I recommend today, and that is join the Oath Keepers. So, you know, I find nothing more inspiring, never mind that the Constitution, I mean this document that was written 230 plus years ago, three pages, folks. You know, I mean, the Bill of Rights is another couple pages. And the Bill of Rights, by the way, is what? Huh? Come on, you know it. The Bill of Rights are the first 10 amendments. Right? And not all to be confused with the Declaration of Independence. These are the three key documents to America, to its ideals, to its ideas, to its founding, and hopefully one of these days soon to its restoration. Because we have drifted far afield on purpose. This has not been an aimless drift. This has been a steered drift. It's the same steered drift that you see in your schools right now where they're trying to omit, obliterate, change, transform history. It's that same drift that you see with this hue and cry over the Confederate flag. I mean, please. Whether you like the Confederates, whether you don't, I happen to be a Yankee at heart, if you wanted to put, you know, I'd be wearing a blue uniform back in 1863. But that doesn't matter. The Confederate flag, like the flag Don't Tread on Me, like the Revolutionary War flag, like many flags, the Texas flag, is part of our history. I mean, where do these people come off? Should it be flown at state capitals? Do I care? I mean, really? We're jumping up and down about the Confederate flag? You know, I mean, 700,000 men on both sides died in a civil war that really spanned 6 years with a decade of violence before it. My books are written during that time period. I'm very familiar with it. And by the way, I know some of you are grumbling, where's book four? A little bit about that at the end of the show and the new audios too, which are on a special over this weekend. Publishers did a great little deal for folks who want to grab them. But that's not important either. What's important, folks, is that if somebody bans the Confederate flag, what do they ban next? Did you hear the tapes or see the videos of Louis Farrakhan screaming and yelling last week that it's not the Confederate flag that should be buried, it's the American flag that should be buried. You know, I have never heard so much woe about stuff, however important, that happened 160 years ago, as since Barack Obama became president, particularly in the last year and a half. I mean, they are absolutely, you know, without scruples, race baiters. You know, it is amazing that black people, who have really been kept under the thumb of the Democratic Party, the party, I might add, of the Confederacy, the party, I might add, of Strom Thurmond, Bill Clinton, all of whom were in lockstep with, or they themselves, strict segregationists. It is amazing to me that 90%+ of black folks vote for Democrats. Baltimore, with a crime rate out of control, greater than New York City right now. I believe Baltimore is 1/8 the size of New York City. With a lying, unscrupulous, political animal of a mayor, who, by the way, happens to be black, and has as her sister a lying, unscrupulous state prosecutor who happens to be black, and a lying, unscrupulous turncoat to his own forces police commissioner who happens to be black. And all three of them happen to be Democrats. And they lied through their teeth about the stand down order. They lied through their teeth about telling the police specifically not to interfere with looting and rioting. Hell, this mayor lies through her teeth about what she said in black and white, plain English, that a 2-year-old could understand. She used the words, "We gave them space to destroy. We gave them space to destroy." What do those words mean to you? That's on a videotaped press conference the night of or the night after the riots. And now she says she never said it. It's truly remarkable. It's like Barack Obama saying he never said you could keep your doctor. What, me? I didn't say that. That's not me on the videotape. That's not really what I was saying. You're hearing it wrong. It's all these things. It's all these people, these types of people. George Soros, who funds all this crap, who's as white as a lily, 80-some-odd years old. It doesn't matter whether you're white or you're black or you're orange or you're yellow or you're pink or you're red or you're a Martian. If you're a Democrat, and honestly, I can't think of any exception, you lie. You divert. You follow Saul Alinsky's handbook. Admit nothing. Deny everything. Divert attention. It's right out of his, that's what his book says. That's what they do. And in the process, they undermine and undercut the Constitution. I mean, the very least we should be able to expect from government folks who are just not going to be highly motivated or highly competent because they're dealing with your money, not theirs. The very least we can expect from these so-called quote-unquote leaders is some honesty, some timely transparency. Isn't that what we were promised? The most transparent administration in history. That's what I'm going to bring you. You know, the seas will part, the sun will rise, the world will heal, blah, blah, blah. And they lie to cover what they're really doing. And what they're really doing, although it's 1,000 paper cuts, 10,000 paper cuts, 20,000 paper cuts, so they're shredding the Constitution, folks. That's what they're doing. And unfortunately, we have very few people standing up in its defense who are in the higher tiers, and I'm including Congress. You know, Judge Alito, he's rapidly becoming one of my new heroes. He is not afraid to tell like it is in his opposition briefs at the Supreme Court. I don't know if you read any excerpts from his brief, actually both briefs, the one on the gay marriage ruling and the minority brief, the opposition brief, on Obamacare. You should. You should hear what a justice of the Supreme Court says about the Supreme Court. I mean, obviously, to their faces, it couldn't be more public. So he sees it too. Anyway, one of the things, besides the fact that the Constitution has lasted all these years, you know, call it the 10 pages of the founding documents, Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And the Constitution, of course, itself is kind of the fulcrum of everything. 3 pages. Now we have bills that are 2,000 pages that do nothing but hurt people, a la Obamacare, a la Dodd-Frank, a la this monstrosity coming at us, the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Trade Pact, which remarkably Congress gave Obama the latitude to negotiate. It's just beyond me. There's reports coming out, and I don't have them all together yet because it's continually being leaked. They're doing their best to keep this secret from us. You know why? Because if it's 26 sections, only 5 deal with trade. Others deal with global warming. Others deal with immigration. I mean, it's really kind of handing over American sovereignty on a silver platter to 11 other nations. And then, despite the fact that Webster's defines a treaty as an agreement between nations, we're told it's not a treaty. It's unbelievable. And that they get away with it is even more unbelievable. And that 45%, give or take, of the population approves of it is not only unbelievable, it's downright frightening. But one of the things that I get out of the Constitution, besides the fact that it's longevity. We are the only republic on the representative republic on the face of the earth, folks. We are not a democracy. We are a representative republic. We have the longest standing constitution in modern history. And there's a reason for that. It's because people believe. And the people who wrote that document, the people who wrote the Declaration of Independence, the people who pledged their lives, their sacred honor, their fortunes, to write those documents, to stand up to tyranny, to create a free nation and a free people, were remarkable men. Remarkable men. Not just for their courage. I mean, one traitorous whisper and redcoats would have been at their door to hang them. Can you imagine how frightening it must have been to be one of those approximately 87 men who were directly involved in the drafting of these documents? Or the top 4 or 5, Jefferson, Adams, I mean, you're in a colony. You don't have any of the communications that we have now. You have none of the conveniences. There's no phones. It takes you days just to go a few miles. You have a single shot musket. You have a ragtag army, untrained of farmers. And yet you meet day after day, knowing that above all things, the British would like to catch you and hang you. The most powerful, by far, empire on the face of the earth at the time. In fact, the most powerful empire on the face of the earth up to the early, give or take, 1900s. Their nadir was reached right after World War I. I mean, these people must have spent many sleepless nights, yet they persevered against, I might add, all odds. Power, might, money, armament, logistics, numbers. And they won. Which is why you're listening to this show and I'm producing it for you. 230 some odd years later, on July 4th, our birthday. And one of the great things I get out of that time period are these incredibly fabulous quotes, these foreshadowing, forethinking, common sense, eloquently stated quotes from these founding people, these courageous men and women. And you read them and you go, wow, that is so true. True then, true now. And it inspires me. I don't know what it does to you. So one of the things we're going to do today is I'm going to read you some of the quotes, which I think are really timeless, shall we say. When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Thomas Jefferson. How about these? I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. Thomas Jefferson. Here's another one. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson again. An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens. Thomas Jefferson. And the last one here from Thomas Jefferson. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. I'm going to pause here for just a moment.